Hi there, Corey Sanders here with the honor of being able to talk to two of the stars of today's show. We've got Mark Rusinovich on my right and Ben Hindman on my left. And we are going to talk a little bit more about sort of what you guys talked about on stage today. And I think the first thing I'd like to start off with, at least, is hear a little bit more about what happened with the demo.
Oh, that's what you want to hear about first.
I thought we'd dig right in and right. See sort of what happened
that's
there.
That's great.
Is that, are you not?
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I can explain what happened.
Okay, this is, I wish you would.
In fact, I can show you what happened.
Oh, okay.
And I can actually show you it working.
Are we able to go to, let's go to the video.
Switch over.
All right, let's go over there and take a look and see.
All right. So you recall that where we left off right before the incident occurred. we had scaled out the web tier to 20 instances, but only 8 of them could get provisioned on this cluster because the cluster's not large enough. And
Correct.
So what I wanted to do was go to container service and scale out the cluster. And I ran the container service command and it failed to scale out the cluster. Mm-hmm. So the reason for that, it turns out, is obvious when you type where is and look at where the container service script that I ran is located. You can see here it's in user local bin container service.
Mm.
Turns out that's the wrong one.
I see. You
There's another
local
one here in the local directory.
Okay.
And I'm in not in user local.
Seems like an honest
bin.
Mistake.
So let's try that again by prefixing with ./ to point at the local one.
There you go. And so right now this is scaling up on the Azure side using scale sets, correct?
That's right. And so here in a few seconds, we'll see this. Yeah, it's using scale sets. Set the scale count to 30. And
then Mesos and Marathon then immediately detect that and start deploying to it.
That's right. Sees that they're
so this joined, is what we would have
joining
seen.
The cluster. And here's where I would talk about scale sets, which I already did.
This is almost as riveting as it was today.
It is. This time it should work, though.
There we go. Hey. Okay. Right. So.
It was a pepcac.
It was. So the demo works.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Showed scale sets. Okay. So what I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about, you know, one of the things you guys talked about was sort of the layering of the platform, right? You've got sort of the virtual machine scale sets and the resource groups on top. And then, of course, Mesos and then Marathon, Kronos, and Swarm. You know, as you sort of look at that layering, sort of how do you sort of break down the different pieces of the stack so that people can understand, you know, I think it's kind of a lot was thrown at them, right, all in that one section. So maybe you want to start from the sort of bottom up and then you can take over as we go higher.
That sounds good. Well, people are most familiar with just virtual machines.
The
concept of single instance virtual machines where you go and create them. They're what we refer to as pets, where each one might be different from every other one and you take care of it and configure it specially and it has its own life that you baby it through. That's opposed to the new type of virtual machine that we talked about today, which is virtual machine scale sets, which are more like cattle. You don't really care about any individual one of them. You care about them as a group. And so you're great for clusters where the application is what you care about running on top of that those scale set virtual machines, not the actual virtual machines themselves. And so if one of the virtual machines in the scale set fails, you just create another one, and then the applications automatically, through orchestration layers on top, healed onto the healthy virtual machines. Mm. And so that's the fundamental infrastructure layer on which container service is based. And then we also have a resource provider that plugs into Azure Resource Manager that is what's used to go and provision one of these clusters. Once you say, hey, I want a cluster that has n number of masters and n number of agent nodes, then the container service RP will go and talk to Azure Resource Manager to say, create a scale set with 3 for the masters and with whatever 10 or 20 for the agent nodes, and uses extensions or virtual machine extension technology, which also works on virtual machine scale sets, to go and provision Mesos and the other components into those virtual machines.
And that was the nice UI that you kind of walked through to be able to launch that and configure
That's right.
in an easy way, used all that. And so then right at that point, that's where sort of Apache Mesos comes in and sort of takes over, right?
We herd the cattle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, excellent. Okay, yeah.
That's our job, yeah.
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 Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah. So Mesos comes in and effectively, I think Mark said it great, Mesos' responsibility is to take all those machines and start to expose them up to higher level layers. Again, there's lots of layers here.
Yes.
Where really it acts as an intermediary between the applications themselves and the virtual machines, and in particular the resources on those virtual machines. And so, you know, one of the things we demoed was Marathon. And what Marathon is able to do is to take advantage of the Mesos layer to actually schedule its applications without caring about the fact that there are machines, where the machines are coming from, if right. the machines are coming and going, if there are these failures or anything else. It just uses this API layer from Mesos to say, hey, I've got these containers. I want to schedule them. Can you tell me what the best resources are I can use? Okay, put this container on this resource for now and let me know if that resource happens to disappear because of a failure or anything else.
Right.
And that's really the you know, that's kind of the next layer and a half. It's sort of Mesos plus Marathon. And there's some other things you can run at that layer as well.
Right. And so one of the benefits, at least, that I saw was obviously this layering does allow some of this sort of interchangeability. You can sort of put pieces together. But a lot of sort of that base layer is the Apache Mesos sort of foundation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you talked a lot about scale, right, and sort of the opportunities that how big this thing is, right? Like, what are some of the examples of how big it's this thing has scaled out to?
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, I personally know of clusters on the order of 20,000 machines.
Wow.
Which, you know, I actually had this conversation with Mark, and you know, Mark said, do you actually want to run it on that many machines? Because at some point, the answer is probably no. You want to split it. You know, you probably don't want to run it on 100,000 machines. You probably still want, you know, a couple hundred, you know, a couple 20,000 machine clusters. But that's the really great thing is that you can kind of get it up to those numbers to be able to make it easier to manage that many machines, that much cattle. It's a lot of cattle.
Yeah, it's a lot of cattle. Absolutely. In sort of the exchange that you guys had, you had kind of a funny little joke about sort of open. You know, what from your perspective, Mark, sort of what does it mean to ship this type of open service on top of Azure?
Well, what it means is that we're listening to what our customers want, mm-hmm. because our customers want solutions. Ben talked about the fact that we care about hybrid, and Mesos, of course, meant most of the deployments of Mesos right now are on customers' private infrastructure.
Right.
The companies you mentioned, that's all private infrastructure, and enterprises adopting it in their own infrastructure, private. But they also, as they look at the transition for the cloud, want to take applications and run them on the cloud. They want the flexibility of moving them back and forth, doing dev test in one, production in the other, and it might vary over time as this transition is occurring. So the beauty of adopting Mesos as that underlying container or fabric, essentially, is that customers can take these applications and deploy them wherever it makes sense.
Got it. So that open choice is really exciting. And sort of similar question for you, but kind of the flip side, you know, from your perspective, being sort of a co-founder of Mesosphere, you know, what's exciting to you about sort of this service and sort of the Apache Mesos Marathon, et cetera, on top of Azure?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fundamental thing that's most exciting to me is that there are organizations today that want to be both in the cloud and on-prem, and they want to be able to do that in a really seamless way. You know, they want to have interfaces like Marathon, like some of these other interfaces, these Mesos-like interfaces, whether they're building their own things directly on top of Mesos or using something like Marathon. And so to be able to come to Azure and have an interface that they understand and that they've worked with and be able to do that both on-prem and also in the cloud, I mean, that's the thing that's the most exciting to me.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, it's not just the when we say interface, really there's two basic interfaces we're talking about here. It's the application interface, the one the developers program to, and the operations interface, which is the UX and the other tooling, which both you get both when you build on something like Mesos.
Yeah, and so you ended up actually building a lot of this demo and then rerunning it actually a few times. You know, from your experiences, again, that application layer and operations layer, like what did you find exciting sort of about this? And you may have been using Mesos for a long time, but...
Yeah. Well, the exciting thing is that separation of the two layers, mm-hmm. separation of concerns. Yeah. Developer worries about and the operator worries about the applications. You get another person that might be worrying about the cluster underneath. And so people focus on the stuff that's important for them to focus on. Developers building applications are going to be going and saying, hey, give me a pool of resources. I'm going to go toss my application at it. And then somebody else is worrying about making sure that cluster is scaled out and healthy and patched and so they developers don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So Ben, you know, while we're up here, what are some of the next things coming from Mesosphere? What are some of the exciting sort of next generation things that you guys have coming down the pipe?
Yeah.
You're allowed to talk about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, specifically with respect to Mesos and some of the technology in the DCOS, you know, some of the stuff we're focusing on and things like multi-DC.
Yeah.
multi-failure regions so that we don't end up having to run 100,000 nodes.
It is right.
In every region. You know, doing that in a really clean, federated way. So again, operators can just have a nice, clean abstraction.
Right.
People do this today, but they got to do a bit more work, and we're kind of all about automating away the work. Thanks, Mark. Sure. Yeah. So
the
you know.
Blue shirt.
The blue shirt.
Blue's our colors. Come on.
Blue, okay. Yeah.
And purple.
Thank you, Ben.
I think the other stuff that's actually exciting, and this is a plug, I'll throw it in, is actually some of the Windows stuff we're doing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Is actually really exciting.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that. We actually didn't show that today, but we talked a little bit about it.
Turns out Microsoft's a lot of companies.
Yeah.
So in the same way that organizations have said, hey, can we launch our Linux apps? Can we launch our Windows apps in the same way that we're launching our Linux apps? Mm-hmm. And thanks to the technology you guys are building into Windows Server around containerization, we're able to let Marathon and Mesos be able to do that natively.
Right. And we just recently demoed that actually at
MesosCon. That's exactly right.
Cool. You know, Mark, from your perspective, obviously a lot of this, you've been in the company for a while. You know, what really gets you excited about the announcements of today, all up, right? And specifically the work with Mesosphere.
Well, some of the, like going into India is a huge thing. There's a huge market there that we're reaching, and it's just part of our ongoing growth, hyperscale growth, to reach wherever customers want to use the cloud. We're going to reach there eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is another big step in that. The other one's the N-series virtual machine, the coming of GPU. We've had lots of inquiries for GPU, scientific, engineering, financial, lots of sectors that are in machine learning for ourselves, right? Take advantage of GPUs. And so having that capability to really accelerate that is going to be really
cool.
Nice to have.
And obviously all of that then will be able to be organized, managed.
There you go.
Cattle, prodded.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you guys call your cattle? No.
No.
You prod the cattle.
That's not one of your product names.
Nope.
No, it's not. One of the things actually that we talked about a little bit in the post that we didn't talk too much about on stage today was Kronos. Yeah. Could you tell a little bit about what that is and sort of why that's exciting as part of the overall layering?
Sure. So Kronos is one of those interesting distributed services that we run on top of Mesos. Think about it like this. If you have a pet cron machine where you go in and you update the cron tab or when you do whatever you do to make sure that certain jobs run at a particular time of the day, when that machine fails, you all know how this feels. It's a really bad thing, right? Uh-oh, when's that job going to run? Is it going to run that time of day? So you can think of Kronos as basically saying the cron tab should just be for the things you want to run using some resources in the data center. It doesn't have to be on any fixed particular machine. And if it does, you know, for whatever reasons, because it needs particular resources, okay, we can schedule around that. But for most of the things, it doesn't actually need that. And so that's where the Kronos came from. And someone said, you know, I want to make a distributed cron, basically.
Right.
And I want it to be easy. And so it's acted for a lot of organizations as kind of their first foray into using an Apache Mesos cluster, because they've experienced that cron machine failing and wanted to not have to deal with that anymore.
Got it. Yeah. And so it's a pretty exciting part of the overall offering that we're looking at here.
It's one of the frameworks that a lot of organizations first take on when they're doing things on the DCOS.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So now let me ask just one more sort of question about some of the preparation that you guys did. You know, how much did you guys prep for today's keynote? You know, what was how'd that go? And the decision
was spontaneous.
The whole thing was spontaneous.
Yeah. We made it up.
We
said, hey, Ben, come on stage.
Yeah. At first, I thought I was just coming up to say hi. And then
he just started asking you questions.
Yeah. We riffed.
Actually, we did the same thing here.
That's true.
Isn't obvious by the direction and quality of questions by the end. So, okay, good. So just kind of made it up as you went.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well,
not true, obviously.
So anything else, Ben, from your side about sort of just exciting things about today and just the experience that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably one of the most exciting things is that the industry is evolving. And we're seeing a lot of organizations today saying they want to kind of, how can they get to that reliability and scalability of how they actually run and write their software?
Right.
And containers are a big part of it. And I think like the next big part of it is, you know, you can create the containers, but then how do you run them? How do you deploy them? How do you manage them?
Yeah, right.
What happens when there's failures? What's you want to scale up, scale down? What happens when they want to do very particular things? You know, when the containers themselves want to adjust for, I don't know, something that's not like captured in a just scale up and scale down
right.
Kind of thing. And so I think that that's kind of where we're going as an industry and what's next. And it's really exciting to be working with you guys and bringing that to the customers.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. It's been great working with you as well. Yeah. Anything from your side? Final words here, Mark?
Yeah, it's a great time to be in computing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because we're making up new things.
Making it up as we go.
As we go.
It's like you guys did with the keynote and this entire Q&A. Well, this has been fun. Thank you guys so much, obviously, and thanks for the time. And hope you guys get a chance to enjoy the rest of the day
here at
Azure. Awesome.
So, very good. Thank you guys. Cool.